A Painful Case. Mr. James Duffy lived in Chapelizod because he wished to live as far as possible from the centre of Dublin where he worked. He lived in a dark old house, and from his windows he could look down on the river. There were no pictures on the high walls of his room, and there was no carpet on the floor. There was a bed, four chairs near the fire, and a desk. There was a wooden bookcase in one corner with poetry and religious books in it. There was always paper and pens on the desk. At the moment, Mr. Duffy was translating a play from German into English, and there were a number of pages on the desk covered with writing in different colours. Mr. Duffy liked things to be well organised. He worked in a private bank in Baggot Street. He had been there for many years. Every morning he came into the city from Chapelizod by tram. At midday he had a light lunch in Dan Burke's. He had dinner in a restaurant in George Street, where he knew he would not meet any young people, and the food was simple and honest. He spent his evenings at home playing the piano or walking around the edges of the city. He liked Mozart's music and sometimes went to an opera or a concert. He had no friends and did not go to church. He visited his relatives at Christmas and went to their funerals when they died. He sometimes wondered if he could rob his bank, but he could not see how this could be done, so his life continued without adventure. One evening at a concert, he was sitting beside two ladies. There were only a few people at the concert, and the lady next to him looked around and said, "I'm sorry there aren't many people here. It's unpleasant for the singers to have to perform to empty chairs." They started talking. He learned that the younger woman next to her was her daughter, and he guessed that the older woman was a year or two younger than he was. Her face, which looked as if it had once been beautiful, was intelligent, with dark blue eyes. He met her again, a few weeks later, at another concert. Her daughter was chatting to a friend, so they were able to talk more freely. She mentioned her husband, but she did not seem to be warning Mr. Duffy to keep away from her. Her name was Mrs. Sinico. Her husband's grandfather had come to Dublin from Italy. Her husband was the captain of a ship that travelled regularly between Dublin and Holland. They had one daughter. When they met at a concert for a third time, he asked if she would meet him for a walk one evening. She agreed. After that, they always met in the evenings and walked along quiet streets. But Mr. Duffy did not like secrets, so he asked her to invite him to her home. Captain Sinico encouraged the visits because he thought Mr. Duffy was interested in his daughter. Sinico had lost interest in his wife years ago and could not imagine that anyone would be interested in her. As her husband was often away and her daughter went out to give music lessons, Mrs. Sinico and Mr. Duffy were often alone. Neither he nor she felt that this was wrong. They shared their thoughts about music and politics, and he lent her books. She sometimes asked him why he did not write his thoughts down. "Why should he?" he asked her. He did not want to be a journalist, and he did not want other people to read and argue with his ideas. He often went to her little cottage outside Dublin, where they spent their evenings alone. They became very close friends, and he imagined spending a lot of time with her in the future. Many times she allowed the room to get dark and did not light the lamp. He talked a lot, and she listened very closely. At the end of one evening, she seemed more excited than usual, and she took his hand and pressed it to her cheek with passion. Mr. Duffy was very surprised. He had not expected this, and felt that she had misunderstood him. He did not visit for a week, and then wrote, asking to meet her. They met in a little cafe near Phoenix Park, and then, despite the cold autumn weather, walked in the park for 3 hours. She agreed when he told her that they could not meet again. When they came out of the park, they walked to the tram without speaking. But before she got on the tram, her body began to shake violently. He was afraid what people might think, so he said goodbye quickly and left. A few days later, he received a parcel with the books he had lent her. 4 years passed. Mr. Duffy returned to his organized life. There was some new music on the piano and some new books in his bookcase. He rarely wrote at his desk. One of the sentences he had written 2 months after his last meeting with Mrs. Sinico read, "Love between man and man is impossible because there must be no sex, and friendship between man and woman is impossible because there must be sex." He did not go to any concerts in case he met her. His father died, and Mr. Duffy went to his funeral. One of the managers at the bank left, and still every morning he went into the city by tram, and every evening he walked home from the city after a quiet dinner in George's Street with the evening newspaper in front of him. One evening he was about to put a piece of beef into his mouth when his hand stopped. His eyes were fixed on the evening paper. He read the paragraph carefully. Then he drank a glass of water and read it again. His dinner was getting cold. The waitress came over and asked him if his dinner was all right. He said it was very good and ate a little more with difficulty. Then he paid, put the newspaper in his pocket and went out. He walked quickly through the November evening. When he reached his home, he went up to his bedroom and, taking the newspaper out of his pocket, he read the page again. This was what he read. "Death of a lady at Sydney Parade. A painful case. Today, at the City of Dublin Hospital, there was an inquest into the death of Mrs. Emily Sinico, aged 43 years, who was killed at Sydney Parade Station yesterday evening. The lady, while trying to cross the railway line, was hit by the 10 o'clock train to Kingstown. She was injured on her head and right side and died later. James Lennon, the driver of the train, told the inquest that he had worked for the railway for 15 years. He had just started the train from the station when he heard loud shouts and stopped immediately. The train was moving slowly. P. Dunn, a railway worker, told the inquest that, as the train was beginning to move, he saw a woman trying to cross the lines. He ran towards her and shouted, but the train hit her and she fell to the ground. Police officer Crowley said that when he arrived, Mrs. Sinico was lying next to the train and she seemed to be dead. He waited with her until the ambulance arrived. Dr. Halpin of the City of Dublin Hospital told the inquest that Mrs. Sinico was injured on the right of her head, her right shoulder, and her right side, where two bones were broken. She had not been a healthy woman, and she died, in his opinion, of shock and because her heart failed. Captain Sinico told the inquest that the dead woman was his wife. He was not in Dublin at the time of the accident. He had arrived in the port this morning, from Rotterdam. They had been married for 22 years and had lived happily until about 2 years ago, when his wife began to drink heavily. Miss Mary Sinico said that her mother had often gone out late at night to buy drinks. Miss Sinico had often talked to her mother about her drinking and tried to stop her. The inquest found that Mrs. Sinico's death was an accident, and Mr. Lennon, the train driver, was not responsible. It was, he said, a most painful case, and he felt sorry for Captain Sinico and his daughter. He asked the railway company to do all it could to prevent similar accidents in the future. Mr. Duffy stopped reading and looked out of the window. What an end! The story of her death was horrible. He had been her friend, but how could he have been friends with a shameful creature like that? He thought of the dirty, drunk people he sometimes saw in the streets, carrying their bottles of drink. How had she fallen to be like them? He remembered the time that her hand had touched his cheek in passion. The shock of this was so great that he had to get outside. He walked out into the cold street. When he reached the pub at Chapelizod Bridge, he went in and ordered a drink. The bar was quiet, and the barman was reading a newspaper. As he sat, he thought about Mrs. Sinico as two different women. There was the woman he had known, and the woman he had just read about. Then he felt shocked that Mrs. Sinico was dead. He asked himself if he had done anything wrong. Was it his fault? But it was impossible for them to meet secretly. If she had left her husband, they would not have been able to live together in public, in Dublin, where everyone knew them. Was he responsible for her death? He had done what he thought was best. Now that she was gone, he understood how lonely her life had been, sitting night after night alone in that room. And now his life would also be lonely until he too died. He left the pub at 9 o'clock and walked into Phoenix Park. He walked where they had walked together 4 years before. She seemed to be near him in the darkness. Why had he rejected her? Why had he made her die? He felt ashamed of himself. There were lovers in the park. Their secret love was immoral and dirty. But he wondered about his own life. One person had wanted to love him, to make them both happy. But he had refused her, and she had died horribly. He turned back the way he had come and stopped under a tree. Now, he could not feel her near him in the darkness, or hear her voice. He waited for some minutes, listening. He could hear nothing. The night was perfectly silent. He felt that he was alone.